sanctification are in proper order. The living entity within the material element is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Again, the seven elements are the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification. Objects to see, to hear, to taste, to touch, and so on. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, the Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. Purport. As it is quoted by Sridhar Swami in his Bhagavatam commentary, Swamiyat Madhyo Janapada Durga Dravina Sanchayaha Dando Mitram Chatasyaita Sapta Prakritayo Mataha. A king is not alone. He first has his spiritual master, the supreme guide. Then come his ministers, his kingdom, his fortifications, his treasury, his system of law and order, and his friends or allies. If these seven are properly maintained, the king is happy. Similarly, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yata dehe, the living entity, the soul, is within the material covering of the Mahatattva, ego, and Panchamatra, the five objects of sense gratification. When these seven are in proper order, the living entity is in a mood of pleasure. Generally, when the associates of the king are quiet and obedient, the king can be happy. Therefore, the great sage Angira Rishi inquired about the king's personal health and the good fortune of his seven associates. When we inquire from a friend whether everything is well, we are concerned not only with his personal self, but also with his family, his source of income, and his assistants or servants. All of them must be well, and then a person can be happy. Do you think it's as little that I could have an harmonium to place the Bhagavatam? Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhuta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sonyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Let us again hear this verse. I would request you to hear this verse in a certain perspective or with a certain angle. That is inquiring for someone's well-being. The great sage Angira said, "My dear king, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalia. Ah, well, when the seven properties of material nature, that is the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification, are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements. His instructor, the Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fortress, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. This verse reminds us of Srila Prabhupada's endings of his letters. When he would end his letters, he would always inquire as to the well-being of the person. I hope this meets you in good health. Good health is important for one's well-being, necessary. It is important. There are other inquiries for one's well-beings and even blessings that sannyasis would greet in the times of Mahaprabhu. The people they meet with the sentence Krishne Matiya Astu, may your attention, your mati, be fixed on Krishna. Because when the mind is absorbed in the Lord, then the mind is well. It's one friend at such a time. Nowadays means at this time. I have also heard another way sannyasis bless and in this way take care of the well-beings of others. They will say to devotees, Krishna Matiya Rahu, may your attention remain fixed on Krishna. Because they assume he is a devotee, so I will not need to bless him to fix his mind on Krishna. I will bless the people who are not yet devotees with this blessing. For the devotees, I will say, may your attention, your mati, remain fixed on Krishna. Another blessing for one's well-being comes to mind when we read in the Ramayana how Vishvamitra once visited the royal court of Maharaj Dasharatha, and what he said to Maharaj Dasharatha, the father of Lord Rama. He said, may you be successful in your endeavor to conquer birth and death. That was his particular blessing, his particular way to look for the well-being of the king. Here, Angira Muni has another focus. He visits the king and he knows the king is not alone, as Srila Prabhupada says. He first has his spiritual master, the supreme guide, then his ministers, kingdom, fortifications, his treasury, his system of law and order, and his friends or ally. May these all be properly maintained so that you can do what you do. Now, in the verse and also in the purport to this verse, another dimension of well-being is explained. Just like the king requires seven allies, so to say, or in modern English, seven support system, support systems, the soul in this body requires also seven systems, that is, the material energy, I should relate properly, the ego, the five objects of sense gratification. This could mean that he should be properly situated in his life, and a responsibility which the Varnashram order of things takes care of. I would like to, in my little attempt to give give some inspirational words to this verse, would like to go a little bit in this direction. The human form of life is such a blessing to the living entity. It's such an opportunity because it does offer us the highest welfare, the highest type of well-being, that is Krishna consciousness. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful verse spoken by Lord Krishna to his dear devotee Uddhava, from which we can understand a little bit about the human form of life. And I do not know how you react when hearing this, but whenever I hear this particular verse, joy comes into my heart and a sense of gratefulness. Or gratitude, I think, is a better English word, for having received such an opportunity from our Lord. Here's the verse for you. I hope it will make your morning a very happy morning to hear this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding His own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within His heart. He had created all these non-human life forms, and he did not feel satisfaction within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth, and then he became pleased. So we can see here we could see a little bit in the heart of the Lord. He so much desires the welfare of the living entities that He created the human form of life so that they could obtain God consciousness or perceive the absolute truth. And after, or only after He had done so, He became pleased. In this human form of life, it's very important that we learn one very necessary spiritual technique that is described in Sanskrit, ananyata. Ananyata means to fix the mind on one goal. There are other words in Sanskrit, ekagra, it means the mind should be fixed, or in the Bhagavatam language, I don't know at this moment in Sanskrit, but one should fix his mind on Krishna by hearing about him, chanting about him, worshipping him. This is called ekanti bhakti, that's the Sanskrit word. On the Gita, the Lord says, describes his devotees as those who have fixed their mind on the goal. Vyasayatmika buddhiya. Ekeha, again the word eka. Ekeha kurunanda na. The mind of my devotees is fixed on one goal. The mind of the non-devotees is fixed on many things. Bahushaka. It's many branched. So, in spiritual life or Krishna consciousness, it's very, very important to fix the mind on this goal of becoming Krishna conscious. It should always be in our mind. It should always be a goal. It should always, we should be conscious about it. As we go through the practices, it's called the sadhana of Krishna, of the spiritual practices, we have to fix our mind on satya, the goal of our practice. Prabhupada gave an example, how this practice and and simultaneous orientation of the mind is so important. He spoke of someone who, now you might have to help me, who rows a boat. Is that the right English word? When he rows his boat and puts this effort up, he needs to also be aware where he wants to go with the boat. Otherwise, the boat will turn in circles and not come. So, the effort and the simultaneous orientation of the mind on the goal is required. It is said, focus and, or let me better say it the other way around, energy and focus. This is the dynamic which brings about change. Imagine that you have a writing desk and you see it's a mess. Then you just can't only go about and just move things around and exert a lot of energy. You must also have some focus. Now this goes left, this goes right, this goes here, and this goes there. If you only bring energy to your writing desk and no focus, the desk will remain disorderly and you might not find the things which you need and be not successful in even making simple things like phone calls and writing letters and so on and so forth. This energy and focus, or let me say in Sanskrit word, sadhana and satya, are highly required to become successful in the human form of life. Both must be there. I would like to tell you a little bit about the possibilities of the human form of life now by telling you a story which I find very interesting because it offers some very nice points, and then I would like to talk a little bit about the other dimension, for the focus in our spiritual life. I want to now, so let us start first with the opportunities, the tools which we have, and then let us talk about the focus or the goal. Once, take it as an illustration. It's an Indian wisdom story. It's not more and it's also not less than this. It wants to make a deep point, so here it is. Once Yamaraj somehow was visited by an elephant. We usually hear that the hellish planets are only reserved for those humans who do a mistake, but apparently this elephant must have been human, and then he got an elephant body. At least this is how the story goes. And he said to the elephant, Yamaraj said to the elephant, I gave you the biggest body, yet you lived under the control of man, who's only as big as your leg. Why didn't you control the man instead? The elephant, who was once a man, answered, well, the man controls even the biggest person. No, says Yamaraj, I have seen so many people who come here, and I control them all. The elephant responded, you have not seen living people. You just see the dead, Yamaraj. The human being has such an amount of energy and intelligence. It's awesome, I think you would say in American English. It's awesome. Or maybe awe-inspiring. It is too much, he said like this. Yamaraj says, I want to see it. And he told his servants, bring me a good person, a living person, whose time is really not yet come, but just bring him here. He doesn't need to die. You just keep him alive in your subtle ways, and then, you know. So Yamaraj, so the servants came in the night to the roof of a good man who was also intelligent and who was just looking into the sky. It was... And all of a sudden he saw the Yamadutas, and the Yamaduta said, don't worry, you won't die. It's just an excursion. We will bring you to Yamaraj. So they carried him on his bed. So while they carried him, the man wrote something on a piece of paper like this. So, when he came to Yamaraj, Yamaraj said, welcome here, I just wanted to see you. And the man said, before we speak, I have a letter to deliver to you. It comes from Vishnu. It didn't come from Vishnu. He had wrote this down. Please read it. Vishnu said you should immediately take note of the content. And the letter said, I, Vishnu, have sent my accountant to you. Let him do all the work which you normally do. In other words, get off your throne and let him sit on it. This is what the intelligent man, who was a good man, had written on his paper. So, Yamaraj said, okay, if this is the order of my lord, then let him take my throne. I'm interested, did I do something wrong here or what? He was starting to ask questions. He was, in other words, starting to come under the control of this man. So the man was smiling, and he start to receive all the sinners. First he received a murderer, and he immediately sent him to Vaikuntha. Yamaraj said, are you sure you made the right decision? Yes. I'm the accountant of Vishnu. I know these things very well. Then a woman came who did something which is supposed to be not good in the Vedic tradition. She had mixed milk with water, and cheated to increase the volume of the milk. And she was also sent to Vaikuntha. Then a man came who had beard wrong witness. He was also sent. Soon, an overcrowded queue stood before the gates of heaven, the gates of the Vaikuntha world. Vishnu looked at this queue. Can you understand this English queue? And he thought, what is this? I mean, these people usually would be in the hellish planets. I will look a little bit. What is going on there? Is he everything well with Yamaraj? Maybe he ate something wrong and his thinking is a little bit diverted from his normal things and the things I gave him commission to do. So he went and he saw this man on the throne. So Vishnu immediately asked the man, you have sent all these people. Who sent them? Was it you? Yes, said the man. It was, I sent them, but in a way, it was you who sent them, because nothing works without your power. You say so in the scriptures, that everything works under your control. Maya adyakshena prakriti. I have not acted independently. He said like this. The Lord said, why have you sent them? And the man answered, you have inspired me in your heart. Savasya chaham riti sani vishtu matasmiti jnanam apohanam cha. You say in the scripture that any decision, remembrance, knowledge, and also forgetfulness is inspired by you in the heart. If this is not true, then you must delete your words in the Gita. The Lord smiled. He saw he was a good man, and he wanted to have a loving conversation with this good man, and the good man also lovingly discussed with him. Then the Lord says, well, we have, it's all right, but they are not qualified. They have to be qualified by going through the hellish punishments. At this moment, the man said, but you said in the scriptures, yat gatva nani vachtante, anyone who reached the kingdom of God, they are there. They cannot go back into the material world. The Lord turned to Yamaraj. Who is this guy? I think in American English we would say this. Who is this person? Who is this guy? What is he talking? Yamaraj said, yeah, well, he's your man, isn't he? He showed a letter to me, saying that you had made this note that he's your accountant and you wanted him to do my job, my work for some time. The Lord said, he smiled because he knows everything, but he said, I wanting to know how, you know, for the Leela, he said, I didn't send him. So he said, all right, now, my dear man, it is time for you to go back to the human beings. It's you have entertained us with your Shastic quotes, but it's now time to go. The man said, "My lord, no, it is not. I should not go back. I should stay with you because, see, in the Gita, you have said, anyone who reaches your lotus feet will never ever return to the material world. And I have now your association, so please don't send me into the material world. Take me with you." And the Lord smiled lovingly and said, "You are my great devotee. I will take you with me to my eternal kingdom." And so on. So Yamaraj had witnessed all of this. He had seen how this man, by his own intelligence, had attracted the attention of the Lord, and because he had worked in such a way, or acted in such a way, that even the Lord became attentive to him, now the Lord took him back home, back to Godhead, and remained with him. Again, I want to say this story may not, if you measure it with the scrutinizing eyes of is everything exactly like we see things in our through the angle of the exalted angle of the Bhagavad Gita, the story might not stand up to this test. I'm telling you the story for a different reason. I'm telling you the story as an illustration that if a person, a human being, puts it in his mind that he wants to reach the Lord somehow or other, at such times wonders or miracles happen in his life. Because once the mind becomes fixed on the supreme goal of our life and remains fixed, once our mati, our attention, is fixed on Krishna and remains fixed throughout the sometimes unexpected stations on the journey of our life, then there can only be the greatest of all blessings which happen. Because the human form of life is meant really or is equipped really by the word is here sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth. The Lord has given this type of intelligence. He may not have given he has given this type of intelligence to us. And if we just could use this intelligence properly, then we will obtain in this life the Lord's great mercy. It is very, very important to remain fixed on this. We have everything with us at any time of our lives, which is required for our success in our spiritual journey. But we must learn this one little, I wouldn't like to say technique now, this little point to become fixed on our sadhya, on our goal. Rupa Goswami gives the example which is very relevant for a sadhaka, for a person who wants to go back to Godhead, of the Chataka bird. As you know, the Chataka bird has made this vow in a way, or he has made the vow, "I shall not drink the water which has touched the earth. I shall not drink it's called in English muddy water. I will only drink directly from the rain cloud, the very fresh water." Though it may be full, the rain cloud may be full of thunder, and there may be even electrical lightning coming, no problem, I will only go to the rain cloud entering the water. This is anyata, the fixation, the fixed orientation in our lives on our goal. I want to tell you the one story of one chataka bird, which is, I believe, very, very endearing, and it melts our heart. it comes from Tulsidas, and he writes like this: the chataka bird can only drink rainwater, which comes at a time which is called in astrology the Swati constellation. He waits all year for this rain, and then when it comes, he just flies there, no matter of the lightning and of lightning and thunder. Now, there was this one chataka bird who was very, very dizzy. It gets now. You will now have to hear the other dimension of what Tulsi wants to explain. Tulsidas wants to explain. He was very dizzy. So much heat and not enough water, and he really suffered so much. So he came to a tree which was nourished by the underground water. I do not know how you would say in English, but in German it's called Grundwasser, the underground water. And he took shelter in the shade of the tree, but then he thought, how can I do this? I only want to be in contact with the water which comes from above. I don't want ground water. And he left again that protection of the tree, because he felt himself to be disloyal to his vow to drink only, to take only shelter of rainwater. And because this tree was clearly sheltered by the groundwater, he didn't like it. Then he flew under the sun and again became very dizzy, and he was tumbling down, and then he saw a tree which was on the bank of the Ganga, and he landed on the branches and rested for a while. There he was met by a hunter. And the hunter took an arrow and shot the arrow in the body of that poor bird who fell from the tree branch into the water of the Ganga. And as he was drowning, a thought came to him: oh my God, if I drink Ganga water, I will only get liberation. I'm a devotee. I don't wish liberation. I don't want to break my promise to only drink water from the blue rain cloud. Now, if you listen to this story, you need to be a little bit sensitive to the poetry of Tulsi. The dark rain cloud is, of course, Krishna. Hare Krishna. No, you are welcome. The dark rain cloud is, of course, Krishna. And this chatak bird is the devotee who is fixed on his Lord only. Lightning is no problem, because you know it is it's the dhoti of the Lord. The dhoti of the Lord has the color of lightning in the blue sky. It's pleasing. It's wonderful. And even if the Lord sometimes is dealing a little roughly with his devotees. The devotee is not at all disturbed. He knows my Lord has some purpose in this. He will purify me here, but I will stick with my Lord no matter what. I will not go to anything which is, I will not go to support from this world. But I will take shelter at Krishna. This is where you can measure the quality of a devotee. Where will he take shelter when it is time to take shelter? Will he take shelter in the material energy? Or will he take shelter with Lord Krishna? This is, you can see the quality of a devotee, his faith at such a time. I would like to bring, I'm always looking at the time, I will bring the lecture now to a close. It's very difficult to be fixed on Krishna like this because material desires are also there. You must be known, I know, at least I know. But these material desires, if we look at them from the position of the safe position of appreciating the Srimad Bhagavatam, the material desires cannot satisfy us. There's a nice verse which is quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is very nice in this connection. Bhukti mukti spriha dhyavat pishachi hriti vartate tavat bhakti sukhas yatra katam abhyudaya bhavet. It says, the material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from the material bondage are like two witches who haunt us like ghosts. As long as these witches haunt one's heart, how can bhakti awaken there? So to enjoy the world or to become liberated from the world, these are what we have to be aware of. These are very strong influences. Therefore, the example of witchcraft is given. When you are attacked by witches, it is becomes very difficult in life. So, our Chatak bird did not want these two things, enjoyment and liberation. He only wanted Krishna, actually. I would like to read you a verse which is just so, it is very high, but it if we hear this in our heart, it's therapeutic hearing. We hear actually what we, some good example. It's spoken by Srimati Radharani. Panchatvang tanure tu bhutanivaha Svang sevishanto sputam dataram pranipatyahanta shirasa tatra piyache varam tadva pishu payashtidya mukure yutishta diyangana vyomni vyoma tidiyavatmanidara tatala vrinite nila. O Lord, when I die, it is my desire that all the five elements of this material body should be utilized in service to you. And now he says, she says how this could be done. Let the element of water mix with the water in which you bathe. Like maybe the pond or the Yamuna. Let the element of fire mix in the mirror you use as a looking glass. Element of fire is also light, So let that light come into the mirror so that you can see yourself inside the mirror. Let the element of ether, which I have in my body, merge in the space of your courtyard where you play. And let the element of air mix with the air near you, so that it serves you as a breeze which cools you in the summer. And let the element of earth mix with the earth in the path which you tread upon. O Lord, when I die, it is my desire that all the five elements of this material body should be utilized in service to you. This is the statement of the most dearest of Lord Krishna's devotee, a statement where she expresses her keen desire to serve. So many material desires may be with us at the moment, but you can learn to develop spiritual desires if you just hear the katha about Lord Krishna from the Bhagavatam, if you learn to serve the Vaishnavas and all the living entities, and if you do something which Srila Prabhupada wrote me in a letter, never stop learning this wonderful philosophy in your life. Hare Krishna. We have endeavored very severely to speak in proper English. There must be many faults, and many faults also in our presentation. Kindly overlook them. I'm now looking at the time. It is time to open the deities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai, Shishi Radha Mulidhara ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Ari Ari Bo.